Oscar, I want to see a pew fight down there, because... First Corinthians 2. Okay, we'll start at verse 9. Let's go and pray before we go any further. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this. Help us to understand a little bit with our finite minds to try to understand an infinite God and how we can fellowship with him. And I pray you'd help us to possibly grasp this idea and begin to practice it, or at least make it more efficient. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before I read this, throw out some questions there. If anybody says to you, "I like to, can I ask you a question?" Just say, "You just did." Would you like to ask another one? So I want to throw some questions at you. What does it mean to be spiritual? We often banter that word around. How do you cause one to be spiritual? Okay, parents are often wondering, how can we do that for our kids? Christian school teachers are often thinking, how can I do that for the youth? How do we cause one to be spiritual? And does one need to be spiritual in order to walk with God? Okay, I would tend to think so. And there's a lot of varied opinions of what spirituality is. So we're going to try to tackle that idea, being football season's coming up. And so verse 9 and follow. As it is written, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." So there's one connection, the Spirit of God. "For the Spirit of God searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So the immortal Spirit searches the immortal God. And then, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" So our spirit makes connection with the Spirit of God. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." So am I talking about, you know, where you get this halo on top of your head? You know? And so he says, verse 12, "For now we have received not the spirit of the world." Now, we were born into the spirit of the world, but because of salvation, we now have the Spirit of God. "But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man and wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." How does the Holy Ghost teach? "Comparing spiritual things with spiritual." What in particular? The words of God. "Thy word is truth, sanctify them through thy truth." Jesus said the words that he speaks are spirit and they are life. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual..." Okay, so we possibly can get a little characteristic of what it means to be spiritual. "He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." But if you do that, you know what people will say? "You're judging." He that is spiritual judgeth all things. How do we do that? "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Acts 17:11, "Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so." That's what he's talking about there. So, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." So there's our choices, spiritual versus carnal. Personally, to be honest, I think I lean toward the carnal, just to be honest. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ," we add the I, so babies in Christ, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So to apply that in our day, for one will say, I am of Hiles. Another would say, I am of Ruckman. Another would say, I am of Jones, Bob Jones. Another would say, I am of Dr. Cederholm. Maranatha, oh, he's long gone. In fact, all those guys are gone. Okay, so even at that, that's what a person would say today. And then he says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Okay, so back up in 2:15, he that is spiritual, back to 3:1, he could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Obviously, the outcome or the manifestation of carnality is in verse 3, envying, strife, divisions. That is the outflow of that. Okay? And so, people of the world, okay, cannot distinguish between spirituality and religion. They put them together. Okay? They don't distinguish that. Believers can either be spiritual or carnal or a mixture of both. Most likely, it's all a mixture of both. Sometimes we can be spiritually minded. Sometimes we can be carnally minded. An unbeliever, now I think some might disagree with this, but I believe it's true. An unbeliever can be spiritually minded occasionally. With this in mind, and if a believer can discern when that unbeliever is spiritually minded, it would be a good timing for a witness. Often that's after a couple has a child. Usually there's a time span in there where they're real sensitive to the things of God. Or it's after the death of maybe a young person where their friends maybe about a month or two are real sensitive to the things of God. And then after a couple months, they kind of just get back into the rut of carnality. So the idea this morning, what does it mean to be spiritual? A spiritual mind, when I say I am not referring to a religious mind. So that's obviously how we could understand that. Believers can understand that. The world don't get that. Okay, but we can get that. Now, often, if you try to figure something out, what you usually have to do is you have to figure out what it's not. Okay, that's, you know, how doctors do it. That's how mechanics do it. That's how you debug a computer. And you got to, okay, this is obviously wrong. So if I fix this wrong, and then I go to that wrong, and then I go to that wrong, if I get all those wrongs fixed, I just might find out what's right. Okay, so obviously, the one wrong, and so I want to give you three thoughts about this morning. The spiritual mind does not portray a facade. It doesn't. And if you see that facade, it's rather disgusting. You know, I view myself as just a common, ordinary country boy. Okay? I do take my position as a pastor very seriously as far as studying, but as far as my relationships, playing basketball, all this stuff, I view myself as just a common old country boy. In fact, after 6 months of pastoring here, I pulled my brother aside and I said, hey, I'm still your kid brother. Because I am. Okay, I'm just a country boy. Personally, I despise spiritual or a form of godliness. I despise spiritual fakeness. It bugs me. Okay, we were down at Purdue one time. I saw a guy with, you know, the man of the cloth. He made Joanne Fabrics very happy. And here he is, and he's got some gal just kind of... and I'm like, oh, gag me with a spoon, fella. You know? And on occasion, guys like that, I'll take a track and put it in their little shirt pocket, and they're in arrogance... And I'll say something like, you need this, pal. And so, you know, that's kind of my feelings toward it. I've heard people say, have you ever heard this? The Lord is leading me. And boy, he sure gets credit for a lot of things that I don't think are lining up with Scripture. The Lord is leading me. Another thing I've heard people, it is God's will for me. I was like, okay, well, God's will is pretty well laid out in Scripture. And is God's will for me to murder so-and-so? Well, I don't think so. Okay, I've heard people say God spoke to me. Okay, you've heard that. And I do believe God has spoken to some folks. It seems like in my experience in life, God speaking to me has a lot of static, and I try to figure it out on occasion. And when I do, sometimes I say, that wasn't the Lord, you ding-a-ling, that was you. Okay, and so I'm just being honest about how I feel about myself. And the Lord, I know this, the Lord doesn't lead contrary to the Scriptures. That I know. Okay? Many times I have wondered if I was following God's leading. You know, the one time I had two messages to preach, I had them in my Bible, I didn't know which one to preach, I did a spiritual thing. I flipped a coin. You know? And the Lord is in control of those things. Okay? But still, a person who said, well, you're not real spiritual in that. I know. I'll accept that. Confession is good for the soul. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And many, many times I have acknowledged him, and I didn't know what path to go. So what did I do? I made a decision. And then on at times, I look backwards, maybe a year or two later, and I said, wow, the Lord was leading. I didn't know that. That was pretty nifty. And it's an amazing thing. And you know, when the Lord does that, when God, people often call coincidence, I think coincidence is nothing more than God remaining anonymous. And the one book in the Bible where you see God working behind the scenes is the one book that doesn't have the word Lord or God in it, and that's Esther. Okay, and so the idea there, there's times I know God spoke to my consciousness. Okay, and I know that. Okay, John 10, 27, the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, that is where he would speak to our consciousness. And the conscious thought is what evolutionists have zero answer for. They don't know how to explain the conscious thought. But I think pretty much many of us can attest that we can recognize when God spoke to our consciousness. And we know it was the Lord. He didn't write in the sky, you know. He didn't write up there, GPC. And a guy said, that means go preach Christ. It could mean go plow corn. Who knows? You don't know. Okay, but sometimes the Lord will speak to our consciousness, and I know there are certain times where I know God did speak to my consciousness. Now, if the conscious thought, though, if I get a conscious thought, and then I go to the Scriptures and I find out the thought was contrary to Scriptures, that tells me it was either an unclean spirit that gave me that thought or it was my spirit. So that's why 2 Corinthians 10 says we got to cast down imagination and every high thing exalt itself against God. Okay, now, a facade, a religious facade, is intended to deceive. 2 Timothy 3, 5 talks about a form of godliness. He says that, chapter 3, and then it says, of such withdraw thyself. This form of godliness, walk away from it. Because the most evil people on the telly will come in a suit and tie. Looking good on the outside, but just as evil on the inside. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason why he was crucified is that he exposed the hypocrisy of the elite Judaizers, where they would major on the minors and try to ignore the majors. And the Lord exposed that. And that's why they instigated the crucifixion. Okay, and so Jesus did exactly what religion claims we are supposed to do, is he was good to his fellow man, went around doing good for 3.5 years, and they crucified him. He did exactly what they say we're supposed to do. And then he called them whited walls. Now, in our terminology, in our custom, whited walls, you know, that just kind of sounds, whoa, that was a real insult. You whited wall. You know, we were like, oh, just break my heart with that one. But back then, that was a big insult. And Paul called the high priest in Acts 23 a hypocrite. Several years ago, down in Rinsatuck, you know, one of the men in the church, he got called to be a pastor in another place. And, oh, he became spiritual. I mean, when he got called to be pastor, I'm pastor. And boy, when he sat in church now, it was like, you know, he got his church, lasted 2 months. Church got sick of it. 2 months. Why? It's all facade. They figured it out in 2 months. As a country church, country folk, we kind of figure those things out kind of fast. You know? And so, now granted, the Bible is a spiritual book, firstly. It is an instructional book, secondly. And the common man ignores or scoffs at the religious facade. And I agree with them, totally. On the streets, people often say to me, man, you're religious. I say, oh, no, I'm not. Count me out of religion. I'll speak against religion. And then they laugh. In sports, this would be called going through the motions. Okay, that's what a form of godliness is. It's going through the motions without the godliness. People will say, put your heart into it. Set your mind to it. That's where Jesus said, if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Okay, and so the man of the cloth is a facade that deters men away from the truth. That's the intent. That's the demonic intent. Why? They try to make the Bible a mystical book, a religious book, and the person said, I can't figure it out. Well, that's why you got to come to me, Dr. Dry as Dust. You know? Call me Father, even though I dress like Mother. You know, and that did, and people, it turns people off. Okay, religion is nothing more than man's self-righteousness and demonstration. That's all that it is. And it exposed, when one exposes the hypocrisy of it, that's when the fireworks begin. If you would look in Colossians chapter 1, there's a great, great prayer. In Colossians 1, it parallels the prayer in Ephesians 1. It extends across several verses. Verse 9, I'll just read the first three verses of this great prayer, 9, 10, and 11. And the end results of this prayer will produce joy. So verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Okay, so here's the prayer. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. And notice spiritual understanding. Spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So evidently spirituality helps us to walk in pleasing to the Lord. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. And evidently, spirituality helps us increase our knowledge of the Lord. Is strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. That's a byproduct of spiritual understanding with joyfulness. Wow, that's what the world's looking for. And if we have that, they might consider it. Okay? But if you question somebody's understanding when it's not spiritual, that's when fireworks show up. Now, rules and standards are good and necessary, especially like for a school. Their rules and standards are good and necessary, but they don't make the student spiritual. It doesn't. So how do we encourage one to be spiritual? Spirituality is an internal thing. Spiritual fluff, you know, or false piety. To me, it reminds me of a rabid dog foaming at the mouth. When I was a kid, We'd see a toad in the late summer hot evenings, and a toad would be bouncing around in our yard, and our shepherd would see that toad, and of course I'd say, get it! And that shepherd, and that poison, that toxic on that toad, that dog foaming at the mouth, just foaming, and he couldn't, I gotta go back. And all that foam reminds me of spiritual piety. Just foaming at the mouth. Okay? And I know somebody built a house. The contractor was a Christian. Went to church 3 times a week. Oh, this contract. He looked down on these subcontractors who were cussers and heathen. And this Christian was a full-fledged narcissist. I worked with the cussers helping, and one of these guys was doing some landscaping, and he did all the talking for about 15 minutes talking to me, and he told my son, he said, man, your dad and I are like that. He did all the talking. And then one of these guys, I got talking to him, he was telling me about all the dirt that he had about the Dutchies down in the mod at some church, and I said, you're probably right. I said, but okay, what about you? Are you born again? He said, well, I got baptized. And I laughed and I said, are you telling me that H2O is necessary for you to go to heaven? And he smiled. Oh. And then he gets down like this and I'm witness to him. I'm giving God's witness to him. And then he goes, ooh, he got chills all over me. And then the next, he wanted a Bible. I told him I had a Bible. I'll give him a Bible. He said, no, I'll buy it. So I said, what do you want? He said, I'll take the cheap one. So here I am. I brought him the hardback edition. He gave me $20, and his worker over there is going like this. Lightning's going to come down and strike him dead. But those heathen cussers worked as a Christian should. And the Christian contractor, we had to do so much legal stuff against this rascal. And Luke even put a camera up, and we had the guy in at a Christian, goes to church 3 times a week, stealing the camera. And he went to the police and put a complaint in for theft. Fine, Christian. That's all fake. It's all fake. The most corrupt people in the world will often appear in a clean suit and tie. You might see them in the halls of Congress. What is godliness? We have a very unusual definition. What is godliness? We think, oh, this guy, he's got, you know, he looks real good. Oh, that's godliness. Godliness is nothing more than acknowledging the truth. Doesn't matter what you look like. Don't matter if you got tattoos from top of your head to bottom of your feet. If you can acknowledge the truth, that is godliness. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, the second half of the verse, it says, and acknowledging the truth, which is after godliness. It's that simple. Some that appear godly will change this book quicker than anything. And that's an ungodly act. Okay, and so what is a spiritual mind? Okay, I would say a spiritual mind considers the spirit world while we're living in the natural world. In Colossians chapter 1, remember that it mentions about Jesus being the firstborn. It mentions the Lord creating. And it says he created the visible and invisible. So while we're sitting here, there are spirits that are at work. Hopefully the one Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, hopefully the Spirit of God is confirming in our spirits, but there might be an unclean spirit hanging around. I know there would be. And if you'd like to feel them, come back here about midnight and you might feel them. Because when the Spirit of God moves out, they come moving in and you might just hear a few things going on around here. But all it is, we consider that. Okay, it says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But that's who we talk to, right? We talk to flesh and blood, but a spiritual mind will recognize I'm talking to flesh and blood, but there just might be a little imp in that corner over there that's giving influence to this party where they're being blinded. or the anger is going. And if we would team, if flesh and blood would team up together against the little imp in the corner, we might have a better conversation. Things might turn out better. All I'm saying is consider the spirit world. It's right here in this room. We see the natural world. There's a thin veil. Sometimes as things in the spirit world can jump, step through that veil, we might see him. He goes back. The Lord doesn't give us the option to see through the invisible world, but it's there. It's there. And sometimes if you really watch people's eyes, you'll see a manifestation of it coming through their eyes, because the eyes are the windows to the soul. A spiritual mind, all I'm saying is we consider the spirit world while we're living in the natural world. Okay, for example, a spiritual mind considers and adores the Creator while enjoying His creation. Now, I'll just give you an example, some things that I've done. I'm not putting myself up, you know, on some pedestal being spiritual, but Jan and I, this summer, we like to sleep outside. Okay, we like to sleep on our porch. Okay, and so sometimes the cat bothers us, sometimes the dog bothers us. Okay, but so far the bugs have kind of left us alone. But while she was in PA, I was sleeping on the north porch, and I'm laying down there looking up the stars. I said, Lord, that's amazing. Your stars are amazing. Your finger, and you spoke those into existence. Wow, that's something. And the Lord gave me a peace, because I bragged on him a little bit. You know, when you see a beautiful sunset, just say, Lord, boy, you got your artistry skills out tonight. Look at the beauty of those colors. Brag on the Creator. You see, the climate change people worship the creature more than the Creator. Christians, we just simply ignore the Creator, or we fail to give Him the credit. I mean, just walking through that, just walking through the woods and admire the trees and brag on the God who made those trees. You see, we can pray against these spirits that while we're dealing with a natural man, that's what spiritual mind will do. We can ask the Lord. While you're talking to somebody, you can have two conversations at once. And while you're talking to somebody, say, Lord, help me out. I don't know what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying. You know what's going on. I don't. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it reads this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. There's been times somebody asked me a question, a Bible question, a topic. I didn't know what the answer was. And so I had them repeat it like I didn't hear it. And while they're repeating it, I'm throwing up a Nehemiah prayer. Lord, I don't know the answer to this. I can't figure that out. Now, I'm throwing that prayer up, I'm not going, oh, God, may help me out, you know, back through that, all that stuff. I'm just throwing it up. Lord, please help me out. And there's been times where he would give me the answer. I'm giving the answer that God just gave me. And in my mind, at the same time, I'm thinking, this is pretty good. And I never thought of it until then. That's what the Lord wants from us. Now, ideally, he wants us to study, to study, to study, to study. And then when we have the right answer, if you would look in Proverbs 23... Verse 15, Proverbs 23:15. I mean, people are going to ask a silly question sometime. Is God powerful enough to create a rock that he cannot pick up? You know, did Adam have a belly button? Of course. God breathed in him the breath of life. He had to tie him off somewhere. So he had an outie. Okay, and so in Proverbs 23:15, when And when you're conversing with somebody, there's a spirit right there. There's unclean spirits there. You're trying to break through the unclean spirit barrier. And it says in verse 5, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. When you say the right thing, the Lord is, I like that. God is in heaven. Don't the angels rejoice in heaven when a sinner? God is rejoicing when we get. And that's why we got to study the book. So, our problem is not a teaching problem. Our problem is a learning problem. That's a problem in the church. You see? And so, the Lord will speak to our conscience. Okay? And we got to be willing to follow through. Willing to follow through when he speaks to our conscience. I'll give you an example. Again, I'm not putting myself up. This just happened to me recently. We took the kids to camp on Saturday morning when we're getting ready to leave. As I did, I rode my bicycle about everywhere. And I go down to the bathroom, the John, down there by the swimming pool. Nicer showers than other places. And I go in the toilet there to use the bathroom, and somebody dropped a Tootsie Roll. Now, it wasn't a Tootsie Roll. It didn't smell like a Tootsie Roll. It wasn't a little Tootsie Roll. It was one of those bigger Tootsie Rolls. And it wasn't totally soggy. A little bit dry. I had enough time to analyze it. I was raised on a farm. I was a pilot as a kid. Pilot in the loader. Okay. I close the door and walk out. I was going to get on my bike, and the Lord spoke to me. I am as sure as today he spoke to me. He said, go clean it up. He didn't write in the sky, go clean it up. He said to my consciousness, go clean it up. I did a U-turn, walked back in there. Thank God there was a scrub brush for the toilet. Had to have some water, used lots of toilet paper. Took the Tootsie Roll without the wrapper. Cleaned it up. And the Lord never said thank you. But I did think that would be a bad testimony to the camp host of our campers. They're renting the camp. So I thought, nobody's going to be there. Nobody's going to see it. Who gets to pick clean? Somebody to the camp? And they're going to see that. And they're going to say, oh. Now, I understand a young one of the campers kind of fessed up. Autumn, we need to do a little detective work if you know who it is. Maybe we could send them a Tootsie Roll in the mail. But to be honest with you, that's not real impressive what I did, because there are men and women in this town at these nursing homes that change the diapers of older people every single day. For what? Minimum wage? That drives me nuts. Attorneys get $250-$300 an hour, and those people that really matter get $15 an hour. We should do a switcheroosie. Start a big campaign. Get a political fundraising going on. Let's cut the attorneys. Let's cut them down to $100 an hour and raise these folks in these care centers up to $100 an hour. And then they get a bonus for every diaper they have to change. I mean, isn't that something? It's amazing to me. But the Lord might speak to your conscience sometime and say, give a tract to that person. Or might say something like, say something polite to these people. Say something nice to them. Okay? Jan sent around a testimony of an amazing lady who was a missionary. I don't know if some of you listened to her. And she was raped as a missionary. And the Lord told her consciousness, can you thank me for trusting you with this experience without me telling you why? Now, I don't know about you, but that's convicting. That's convicting. And so that's the Lord speaking to our consciousness. And it says in John 10, the Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice. Do we listen to him?" Now, of course, he's going to speak through this book. If you would, one more place, look in two more. Galatians 6:1. Here's another example of, I guess, what it means to be spiritual. Galatians 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." I don't know if that's me or not. But I guess if I would fulfill this, maybe I would can be considered spiritual. "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye are, which are spiritual, make sure you pray and send around prayer requests about the dirt you just heard on this fella." No, he said, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I guess that's an act of spirituality, to reach out and try to help somebody who's really under something tough. Now, if you would, Romans 8:6. I would say a spiritual mind considers the eternal consequences of our natural decisions. Okay, you got a decision, maybe a desire you have, and you don't want to think it out. You want to fulfill this desire. Okay, young people, there's been many a young person that just yield to their passions, and now they got to take care of 3 or 4 children outside of marriage. A spiritual mind recognizes, okay, these are natural feelings, these are natural reactions. They're good reactions kept within the setting of God. But if I fulfill this act, what are the eternal consequences? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to this? Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death." That's the end result. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." That's the end result. So I like what Sam Gipp said, and I pray that we can get him here, but Sam Gipp set up in Schererville, and I've heard him say this, but it just really hit me again right in the face, is get up in the morning and ask God, "What can I do to put a smile on your face?" If we would analyze our prayer request, it would basically be, God, we want God to put a smile on our face. What about if we try to put a smile on God's face? You know, a week ago Saturday, I thought, I'm going to go out and just kind of enjoy my 250 Honda, and I'm just cruising around. And I said, "Lord, is there something that I could do to put a smile on your face? I'm kind of enjoying this cruising around right now." And I buzzed over to somebody's house that, you know, they come here on occasion, and I just thought I would sit down and chat with him for a while, and I think the Lord was pleased to encourage them along the way. Okay, but still the idea is, what can we do to put a smile on God's face? I would say, obviously, the first thing that any man can do to put a smile on God's face is to accept the gospel that Jesus Christ has given. Amen. That's the first thing we could do. And then after we accept that, then a continual walk in our life to walk with God is to live our life trying to put a smile on God's face. And one thing that really God really smiles about, and you take some time and look at that book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the only visible thing we have that's eternal, that we could see. Okay, we can't see our soul, can't see the Lord, but this is eternal and we could see it. That's our connection. So we spend time in this book, there's a God in heaven that says, "I like that. That blesses me." And the more we spend time in that book, we kind of get these things figured out. And then when somebody asks a question, we can answer the question. And it says, "Good job. I like that." That makes me happy. So putting a smile on the Lord's face. I would say a spiritual mind is one that considers the spirit world and also considers the eternal consequences of our decisions. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to grasp this idea. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be real, honest, sincere people, just down to earth, yet spiritual minded. Not some mystical attitude, not some holier-than-thou attitude, just the spiritual mind. Help us to do that. Help us to understand it. And Lord, I pray when you speak in our consciences that you'd make it clear for us. You make it clear so we know it's you. But yet, I know we're supposed to weigh the spirits, try the spirits. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano plays. If you'd like to use your altar, it's open for you. The end game of a spiritual mind is life and peace. The end game of a carnal mind is death. It's death. The Lord wants us to have spiritual minds, not a holier-than-thou attitude. A spiritual mind that try to help someone overtaken in a fault. Judge all things and hold fast that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. These are spiritual activities that we can do. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us, and thank you for your love and patience with us. And I pray that you'd help us to be honest, real, yet spiritual, but a right kind of spiritual, a spiritual mind that is in accordance with your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.